Take our Bibles this morning and go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at verse number 20 to springboard us into our message today, the mother of us all. The mother of us all. So we actually have two mothers of us all. Who's the other one? There's Eve and Mrs. Noah. Mrs. Noah. Right? We all come from Mrs. Noah. We all come from Eve. Right? So a lot of the folks before Mrs. Noah, they got wiped out. All but eight. All right. The mother of us all. Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today on Mother's Day. We ask that you might bless us as we consider our first mother and her life and things that happened in her life. And we ask that this would be a real help and a blessing to all of us today, especially our mothers. And we ask that you might give us great hope and great trust in you and dependence because we have looked at Eve this morning and things that happened in her life. So we need your help right now. I need your help. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me right now for the message. I ask you to bring it and to direct it and to give us what we need this day. Everything we need and no more, but what we need. That's what we are all about as we consider our great Savior. He is all we need. And so we just thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We ask for your blessing and direction as we consider our first mother today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been said that no other force in the life of a son is as strong as the influence of his mother. Mothers are so important. I think about my mother's life, and indeed she was a force in my life. I might not be standing here today if it was not for the force of my mother. She was concerned about grades. She wasn't concerned about football. And so I had to make a choice. Was I going to choose to follow my mother's advice, or was I going to do it my way? And I thank God I chose to follow the force of my mother in my life. Well, a little boy was in the Sunday school program, and he forgot his lines. And his mother was sitting there on the front row, front and center, and she's trying to prompt this little boy to remember his lines, and she formed the words with her lips, but to no avail. So she leaned forward and she whispered the words, "I am the light of the world." And his little eyeballs got bright and he was beaming from ear to ear, and he loudly shouted, "My mother is the light of the world." And I'll bet they all laughed. Well, today we honor our mothers. Families are a huge part of God's plan. It's all about His plan. His plan was for families. And God ordained the home. He did not ordain the herd. It's the home that He ordained. And Eve is the mother of all living. We want to learn some valuable lessons from her life this morning as we consider her. We're going to learn three things. We're going to learn about her hope. Number one, number two, her heartache, and number three, her happiness. So first of all, this morning we're looking at a mother's hope. A mother's hope. Turn over to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 1. And we see here a great response from Eve. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, understanding that statement, we need to look at some background information. We remember the creation of Adam and Eve. If you'll turn back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now turn to chapter 2 in Genesis, verses 18 through 25. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So we have Adam being created. He was created first. He was created from the dust of the ground. Eve was created from Adam's rib. Here is the very first anesthesia and the very first surgery. So anesthesia has been around for a long, long time. So Adam's side was operated on right next to his heart. A rib was taken. And then we had the first marriage. And I'm going to say this is probably the fastest marriage ceremony ever. The first and fastest. Well, God joined Adam and Eve to be one for life. And this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Those of us here this morning. And then on down the road, we had the temptation and we had the fall. And also, we have the promised seed. If you'll turn to Genesis 3 and verse number 15. Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We have here the promise of a Savior. Verse 15 contains the first promise of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. A woman is going to have a son. The son will destroy the devil. We will have the sure promise of this destruction in the Lord Jesus Christ's cross and resurrection. Though Satan is still active. He is active and he's doing all he can to destroy. Satan will bruise the heel of the woman's son, but the son will crush the head of the serpent. I also call your attention to the book of Revelation chapter 20. Keep your hand there in Genesis and go to the end, to Revelation. Interesting, the beginning and the end, all tied together. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we see the end of what was started in the book of Genesis here with our very first family. So here in verse number 1, Eve has a burst of exuberant optimism. I have gotten a man from the Lord. You know, Eve's growing belly must have been a wonder of wonders to our first couple. As they see this little baby growing and her stomach pushing out, and like millions and millions and millions of couples, Eve would place Adam's hand on her belly to feel the life moving within. Wow. Perhaps he even tried to listen to the little heartbeat that was beating within. She rightly saw this life within as the work of God. She got that. She understood that. Her words were a declaration of her faith. A declaration. Eve means life because she is the mother of all living. And then Abel was born, and his birth doubles her joy. And hope wells high within our first family. Eve thought Cain was that promised man to bruise the serpent, to crush his head. But we know different. We know it was Christ that will come, and it is Christ that will fulfill that promise of Genesis 3:15. Secondly, this morning, I'm going to look at a mother's heartache. A mother's heartache. Back to Genesis chapter 4. Chapter 4, Genesis, looking at verse number 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. A mother's heartache. You know, birth was an entirely new experience for Adam and Eve. The joy of this first little baby in their life. She, like all of us, we look at those and look for those first words that would be uttered. Mine was a sentence, "See the lights?" at Christmas. "See the lights?" They would look for the first words, and when is he going to take his first steps? I was weird. I didn't step, I ran. I ran from this corner of the couch to that chair over there. Don't know why, but that's what happened. The blessings of motherhood. Cain is born. Abel and daughters will follow. They had a happy home full of love. And then the kids grow up. And Cain becomes a farmer. Abel becomes a keeper of the sheep. They are both honorable professions. Both of them bring a sacrifice to God. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. Then came the heartbreaking day. Cain murdered his brother Abel. Horrible resentment toward God was taken out on his brother. This resentment was aimed at his brother Abel. God tried to help Cain. God painted a frightening but hopeful picture. God said to Cain, "Sin wants to get you, but you need to win over it. Look at verse number 7. That is the gist of what number 7 says. God says sin wants to get you, but you must rule over it. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, but you can get the victory. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God gave him a chance. Cain, you can win this thing. You don't have to be a loser. You can win this thing. Cain stood at the edge of hell. But sadly, God's graphic words about sin as a crouching beast bounced off of his hardening heart, and in monumental willfulness, he began his descent into hell. Cain met his brother in the field, and his premeditated murder of his brother took place. Haste and violence dominate the scene. We don't know how Cain murdered his brother Abel. If he used a knife, it also pierced the heart of Eve. If he used a club against his brother, it smashed Eve as well. You know, our sin always affects other people. Our sin affects many times the very people that we love the most. And so we must keep that in mind. Cain's sin was against God, just like David's sin was against God. Psalm 51:4, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. God's voice thunders to Cain, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Blood and life belong to God alone. So when man commits murder, he attacks God's very own right of possession. And I want us to just go on a side note for a moment. I want us to think about the wickedness of the ridiculous, crazy murders that are going on all across our nation right now. You know, these people have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea how they are offending Almighty God in heaven, because they don't know God, they don't fear God, they've not been taught about God, and they're acting just like that. No, there is no fear of God before their eyes, just like in the days of the judges of Israel. Same deal. Blood and life belong to God alone. So when man commits murder, he attacks God's very own right of possession. Another big point here, spilled blood cannot be shoveled underground. All right? All these wicked murders that are going on, it is, in God's eyes, it is not being erased, it is not being buried. They can burn that body, they can bury it, they can destroy it however they want, but in God's eyes, they have not done that at all. Spilled blood cannot be shoveled underground. It cries aloud to heaven and complains directly to the Lord of life. God is the Lord of life. Blood, the life is in the blood. It belongs, it is God's. He has given it to us. And so now we can kind of understand why Cain's punishment was very severe. Very severe punishment. You know, mothers have wept rivers of tears over wayward children. Children whose sin is directly against God for restricting them from what they want. Just remember this. A wayward child is not doing this against mom, or not doing it against mom and dad. It is against God Almighty. All sin is against God. Who's restricting? God's restricting me. A lot of times in families, a member's taken early, and it's not the way we think it ought to happen. And who do they get mad at? God. I've met these people. Maybe you've met these people. God shouldn't have taken my mother. I am so ticked at him. A sad scenario, is it not? Sin is directed against God, not mom, and not mom and dad. Their wicked sin against God is directed at someone else. Cain rose up and killed his brother. He was angry at God. You, God, did not accept my sacrifice. So I'll just take it out on my brother. I'll kill him. Point number three, let's get off of that negative stuff, right? Point number three, a mother's highest happiness. A mother's highest happiness, Genesis 4, 25 and 26. Genesis 4, verses 25 and 26. That was a big tragedy they had to get over, wasn't it? Okay. And we have these verses now in Genesis 4, 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, for God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enoch. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now this is a powerful transformation that takes place here. We had a horrible situation take place, but now we're having a glorious situation take place. Could Eve forget Cain's violence? Could Eve forget Abel's death? No, but she could recover, and she did. Now, we need to keep that one in mind as well. Nothing happens in the life of us as believers, as mothers, as dads, as brothers and sisters. There is nothing that happens that cannot be recovered from. What does God say? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace. It's my grace that is sufficient for you. God brings recovering love to this first family. And it always blows my mind at what happened in the very first family. The first murder happens in the... You'd think, well, that happens way down the road. It just shows you the power of sin and the power that Satan has over people who give in to what he wants them to do. But God's grace will always be sufficient. So Adam and Eve have another baby boy, and they name him Seth. And so God had appointed for Eve another offspring in the place of little Abel. Now, Seth means granted. God granted Eve another child, and Eve attributes this, the birth of this child, to the grace of God. God did this. God has appointed me another son. And she has no clue how many more are going to come down the road. So Eve's faith is just shining because another offspring, at literally another seed, is born, which references the promise of Genesis 3:15 that we've already looked at about her seed, which will crush the serpent's head. The gift of baby Seth ensured that the promise would stay alive in Eve, who was indeed the mother of all living. The birth of this third son was really, really sweet because she actually lost her first two. Remember what happens to Cain? He's banished. He's gone too. She lost the first two. So now Eve So now she has another little baby to love and to cuddle and to raise, and very good things are going to come out of this. So I want us to see that. I mean, bad things happen, but God is going to bring something spectacular to pass afterwards. And it's not the end. The bad thing is not the end. And so very good things are coming ahead. Worship came through Seth. Worship came through Seth. Seth's firstborn Enoch and successors were the pioneers of the worship of our God. So good things are coming. They called upon the name of the Lord. They proclaimed the name of the Lord. A special people began to develop, those who will worship and proclaim the name of our God. This has always been the distinctive of God's people. The people of God proclaim the name of the Lord. They sing His praises. Our text today shows us a paradigm. It shows us an outline to understand civilization and culture today and its ostensible rise with the increase in abundance, music, arts, and technology. Our society is rising impressively, but in its rise there is demise because of sin. That's the way it is. And the only hope for mankind is to call upon the name of the Lord. And that is what God's people do. This is the only hope for our culture. This is the only hope for your soul. It is the only hope for our church. It is to call upon the name of the Lord. Who is that? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The bottom line is this: God meets us where we are. God met Eve in her grief over Cain and over Abel. God meets troubled mothers, and He encourages them. God meets up with wayward children and calls them back to Himself. So as believers here this morning, as mothers here today, as fathers, as all of us family members, don't look through your own blinded eyes. You know, that's one of our biggest problems as people, as humans, and even as Christians. One of the biggest problems is we look at things through our own eyes. And what do we see? Wrong things. We come up with the wrong ideas. We see this and we say, oh. Do you think that doesn't happen to me? Sure it does. The devil comes in, you know, you need to soft pedal on this. I don't go there. If you do that, we don't go there. No. We do not look. Where do we look? Here's your eyeballs right here. You look through the eyes of Scripture. And today we looked at the Scripture where it all began. And what did we see? Mother Eve is no different than our mothers today. It's the same deal. The difference is, what are you going to do with it? Are you looking at it your own way, or will you look at it through the eyes of Scripture? And when? That's what we need to do. Look into the Scriptures and win the battle. Let us pray. Father, we thank You today for this great story of our first mother, Eve. Wow, there's just powerful truth there, and we really have not gotten into all of it. We thank You that she rebounded through your grace and through your provision and what you had in store for her and her family that she had no idea. But we thank you for this wonderful truth we find here in the beginning of the book of Genesis. It helps us today. Many moms have come over the thousands of years. And so today we ask for our Mothers of Faith Chapel that you'll give us right here our moms total victory in their lives over whatever it is. May they walk in the victory of the Lord Jesus as we keep our eyes focused on you, focused on your wonderful scriptures. We give you praise, we give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.